here. I tell you, I've been so blessed from our previous candidates here today. And I do want to give honor to the Spirit of the Lord, because truly He is in this place. Amen. I feel His presence. He said, wherever there are two or three assembled together in my name, He says, there I am in the midst. Amen. And He's here. And I believe He's happy about what we're doing here today, answering the call, amen, to go to higher heights in Him and deeper depths in Him. I do give honor to my pastor, Reverend Warnell Vickers. Raise your hand. They know who you are, the visitors. Amen. And your lovely wife, our Dr. Vickers. Raise your hand. Amen. We thank God for you. For our elder, Reverend Lydia Knighton, just here. We thank God for you. Amen. We thank God for our ministers, Flanoy, over there on the camera. And also for Minister King, amen, did the offering for us a little earlier. We thank God for you. Thank God for the members of New Vision. Thank God for our visiting friends and family that are here with us today. We thank God for our officiating Bishop Daniels. We thank God for you, amen. Thank God for your lovely wife, Dr. Reverend Daniels. Thank God for Dr. Carolyn McKinnon, Reverend Carolyn McKinnon. Thank you for being here. Thank God for all of the visiting clergy that are here. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come before your presence to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for what our ears have already heard here today, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your spirit that's in our midst. And Father God, we say that you have your way here today, Lord. Lord, uplift those that are, Lord God, feeling downtrodden, Lord. Lord, give them hope. Give them encouragement, Lord. Those that don't know you, let a seed be planted, God, that they will come to know you as the Lord of their lives. Father God, we pray that you will just have your way today, and we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24 through 27, and I'm coming from the Message Bible, and it says, you've all been to the stadium, and you've seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard to the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Amen. In these verses of scripture, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the people of Corinth, you know, after they accepted Christ into their lives, and he began to speak to them in their language because he knew that they were interested in what is called the Isthmian Games back then, and that's comparable to what we call the Olympics today. And so they were into those games and things, and so he began to speak their language, and he said, look at the Christian life as if you were running in a race. So my subject is, run the Christian race to win the prize. That's what we all should do. Run to win. And he says, now you all are going to get a little wreath. History tells us that. You know, some kind of little tweeds or something that they would tie together and give the winner of the events back then. And he said, now this is going to perish, you know. And he says, but you're running to win a crown that's eternal, okay? So how much more should you run with enthusiasm and run with vigor and run to win? And he says, now when you're an athlete, you train, you know, you get muscles and everything, you work out. And he says, now you got to work out spiritually. You got to do what's necessary to build spiritual muscle. Amen. And so Paul says, I keep under myself is what I do. You know, because how many know that when you're born again, your body is not saved? Amen. Amen. Your body is not saved. But Paul says, what you got to do is you can't allow your body to rule your life, to dictate to you. But you've got to dictate to your flesh. And the Bible says that the only thing we can do with that flesh is do what? Kill it. Amen? It says to mortify the flesh. Put it to death. So Paul says, I do this deliberately because lest I preach to others and I myself be a castaway. Amen? So we've got to run with that in mind. That I've got to keep under my body. I've got to make sure that I'm doing the things that God has called me to do, amen, so that I can run my race pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And some of the things that we need to mortify and get rid of, as it tells us over in Colossians 3, 5 through 10, it says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen? Amen. So it's important that we put to death the deeds of the flesh as we're running our race, amen, toward that eternal crown, amen, that will never, never perish. So I'm going to rewind and go back in my own race, back to 1977 to 79, as I ran right on the campus of Bethune-Cookman College at the time. And I stayed there and studied for 2 years, and I began having financial aid difficulties. And so I said, what I do, I was frustrated. And I said, what I'll do is I'll just go back home to Fort Lauderdale, and I'll just transfer to a local college. So I chose FAU. And as I did that, I went back to my church, Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and we were having a revival in the services. And I was so frustrated, I just cried out to the Lord the third night of the revival. And I said, well, Lord, if you're really real, I need you to just come into my heart. I need you to just handle this situation, all my cares, my concerns. I need you to make yourself known to me, make yourself real to me. And I tell you, He did just that. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord began to use me and minister to me, have me minister to the congregation with the word of knowledge and the discerning of spirits for the last 3 nights of that revival. And I was so excited about God and how He made Himself so known to me. And so I said, well, Lord, I thought about it, and I knew that God had ministry for me. I knew that there was a calling on my life to minister. I loved, you know, the fact that He revealed Himself to me, and I knew that He was real, and I knew that ministry was what He wanted me to do. And so I began to think about it, and I said, well, here I am. I was about maybe 20 years old, young girl. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know anything about ministry. You know, what is this? You know, but I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I believe that's what He called me to do. And I said, well, I know what. I just need to get married. You know, I need to get somebody to help me, you know, with this, you know. And so we had a sister fellowship with several other churches. And I met this young minister at this other church. And he and I began talking. And after a year, we married. And I was so excited about the things of God and thinking, you know, that I'm going to be able to work for the Lord in the ministry. And then I said, well, Lord, I still want to go back to school, you know, and get my education. And so I thought about what could I do. So I took a job at Florida Atlantic University. And in taking a job at Florida Atlantic University, you get to have tuition free courses, like 2 courses a semester, you know, for free. And I was so happy about that and excited about that, and also being married to a minister, you know, thinking that now I'm going to be able to run my race, you know, and do what God wants me to do. And so after 5 years into marriage, he was called to pastor a Baptist church. And so there we were, pastoring young people. We were the same age, about 27 at the time. And I was all excited, you know, teaching the young ladies intercessory prayer, because that was my passion, you know, prayer. And so we were praying, and I was teaching them prayer. And a lot of the members in the church were older than us, you know. But we were there working together in ministry. And I was thinking, I'm running my race, you know, and I'm going to make it to the finish line, amen, so that I can receive that crown that's not corruptible, amen, that eternal crown. And so the marriage, after 12 years, ended in a divorce. And how many know that God gives us all free will? Yeah. Amen. And so my ex-husband at the time decided he'd exercise his free will. Amen. And so the marriage did end. And so I thought, I said, well, Lord, you know, this thing of ministry is still there. You know, I still feel that calling to ministry. And I said, now what am I going to do, you know? And so I said, and I always wanted to go back to school, so I started taking those classes, you know, going back to school. And I said, I'm a single parent. And so what I found is that FAU, you know, after you take your coursework, you have to do an internship. which is a whole semester, and it's usually during the day. And I said, you know, there's no way I can stop working to do an internship. And then I found that they had a scholarship opportunity offered, and so I applied for that. I said, well, Lord, help me, give me favor to get the scholarship. And I was able to get the scholarship and be off for the whole semester with pay, and they received an additional $600 stipend to help me with my books. And so I was like, praise the Lord, as I was running my race, you know, saying, God, I thank you, you know, you're so good. And so as I kept on going and running my race, amen, after the divorce, you know, I felt really, you know, sad, you know, I felt hurt, you know, and I was crying out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, you have allowed this to happen, you know, and I said, now, if you've allowed this to happen, then so must I, you know, and when I said that, that gave me the courage, and that gave me the strength to continue running my race, amen, because God is the healer of the broken heart, amen. And during that time, also, I was visiting this church with Pastor Vickers at the time. He was under the West Coast ministry. And Pastor Vickers would pray for me, you know, and he would counsel me, give me words of encouragement. And I thank God for him, for placing him in my life. And it's been such a blessing to me. And a few of those times, Dr. McKinnon would come down. And I remember one time she came down and she was ministering. And she told me, she says, God has something for you here. You know, it's something about here. Keep coming around, you know. And at the time, I didn't understand it, you know. But I thank God for a woman of God who is courageous enough to speak whatever God tells her to speak to his people. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Whatever position you may be in right now, you may have gone through trials and tribulations. We all do. Amen? Yes. Jesus said we would. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have sorrows. But he said, but what? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen? So I want to encourage you, wherever you are, you know that you can call on the name of the Lord and that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. And one of the things that helped me, too, in going through is I thought about the story of Joseph. You know, and everything Joseph went through, you know, his brothers rejecting him and Potiphar's wife lying on him. And him being thrown into prison. And then even the guy, when he was released from prison, he forgot about Joseph for a little while there, you know. And I say, and then I read those five words that say, but God was with him. And I said, well, Lord, how can you be with him? And he's going through all of this stuff. You know, that's not right. How can you say you're with him? And then the revelation or the understanding or the interpretation of that is, stuff can be going on and God can still be with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So whatever you're going through, know that God is with you, for he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen? So when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, keep running your race. Amen? Amen. When the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, keep running your race. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit, keep running the race. If ostracized and criticized and called everything but a child of God, keep running your race. Persecuted, abandoned, abused, and rejected, keep running your race. In sickness, pain racking your body, keep running your race. Temptations assailing all around you, keep running your race. So when you ran the last mile of the way, and as the old folks used to say, when the hymnbooks lay closed on the altar, and you can study war no more, you'll be able to echo the words of the Apostle Paul at the close of his journey, when he said, for I'm ready now to be offered up. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, but I want you to know this one thing. He says, I fought a good fight. He says, I finished my course. I kept it. And he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those that love his appearance. So I say to you, run your race and run it with him. Amen. That you will obtain the crown of righteousness.
Bible, say amen.
Amen.
The official leadership statement of purpose for licensed ministers and ordination of the diaconate. I like this part. Why? Because one day the Lord called me into the ministry. And the good part of it
being called,
you don't have to have had anything to be called. I could have been dirty poor, the lowest of the scums on the street. But if God wants you, what He'll make you will redefine your life